Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. Hope you're having a fine day. I want to give a quick shout out to my old friend, Trevor Wright, who apparently listens to every one of these podcasts. I didn't really believe him until the other day in the car when he started engaging me about them in detail. So I just really appreciate you listening, Trevor. And I should say the same for Brian Seitz, too. He's been a loyal listener since day one. Without guys like that, what I'm doing here just wouldn't work. So I can't thank you guys enough. Now, I hope you're ready to talk about the creation mandate. This might not exactly be the conversation you think of when you think of the creation mandate. This is just one element of it I was thinking of. But in thinking about the creation mandate, how it relates to the human race today is kind of what I'm thinking about. In episode 18, I talked about people who believe humanity is essentially a virus on the face of the earth. Even if we don't really feel that strongly, I found one way in which we tend to act like that is true, and that is when we see societal development in nature. So this might be just one blind spot for us in terms of a pagan worldview. I know the feeling of when you're driving down the toll road and you're surrounded by miles and miles of uninhabited land, which is hard to come by in Orange County. Construction begins for new housing development, which disrupts your view of the uninhabited wilderness, and sometimes you rue it. So why is that? Well, for me, it's just preference. I'm not someone who enjoys the aesthetic of tract homes, but it got me to think. God put humans on the earth as his image bearers, which are representatives or ambassadors, to work and keep the garden, to cultivate it, to guard it. In Eden, a garden developed by people was a good thing. It's what God wanted us to do. When it comes to the new tract homes out in Santiago Canyon, why is it that I view the human development of the earth as such a negative thing? The more I thought about it, the more I realized that I'm influenced by this pagan worldview that views humans as a scourge to the planet. The more I realized this, I realized it shouldn't be my thought process at all. Imagine the same type of wilderness. Besides hiking and camping, it's pretty much useless to humans. It's not good for anything except recreation. It's dirty, it's overrun with animals. Some of them are even harmful to us, just right there, still in Orange County. There's animals that can kill you right there in Orange County. But imagine one person owns a few square miles of that land, and he builds one huge house for himself and his family with a few miles of nothing around him. For those few miles, he doesn't touch or affect the nature. He just leaves it be, and he lives in his house, occasionally driving to town for supplies. Now, the land actually serves a purpose, and it's still wilderness and nature. That I have no problem with, because it's just cooler. I would actually prefer that to be the case, but it's still being inhabited by humans, so why do I feel differently? And that's how I realize that it really just comes down to preference, but is that actually better? Now, if he owns the land, he's got the right to do that. That's, you know, indisputable, but is that actually better than making tract homes which could house hundreds or thousands of people? It's preference. It just has to be, you know, because whoever owns that land has the right to build tract homes, and they have the right to build one mansion that they live in. So likewise, who says that the wilderness is better? If it's left untouched, it's only useful for camping and hiking. So is it better than the one house that that the rich man builds? Because now he's making it useful to humans. They don't merely go and visit this beautiful place, they get to live within it. They've made it livable for themselves. They've cultivated it in that way, just like we were supposed to do with the garden. So who says that's inferior to untouched wilderness? I could argue it's even better than untouched wilderness. My reluctance to accept the tract homes really comes down to preference. I don't like tract homes, but to many people looking for that type of housing, it would be a welcome sight. Just because I don't prefer tract homes doesn't mean they're bad. It's preference. Who says it's a bad thing when humans buy land and build a bunch of houses for people to live in? That sounds productive and a good use of the space God has given us. is actually more efficient than my scenario with the one wealthy man building a house in the wilderness, because hundreds or thousands of people can live in a housing tract. So is that really a bad thing? It's all about how you use it and what your preference is. So it's a beautiful thing in a lot of ways. They're building community and giving people a place to live, and even an apartment building. I'm not as big a fan as of those. You know, a new one was built off of Crown Valley. That's a street where I live, and it was already notorious as a busy street with a lot of traffic. There's a freeway on ramp right there. And they built a new apartment complex there. And I just thought that street will be undrivable with all these people living here. But really, I'm just not looking at the big picture. It's beautiful that you can build something with less square footage on the ground and just keep building it into the sky and give multiple people or families a place to live. Apartments are generally cheaper than other places. So when we really think about it, what's so bad about that? Well, we are more influenced by the pagan worldview than we want to admit. We don't like overpopulation and things like that, because sometimes we care more about the planet than we do about people. It's just us being selfish, you know? We think it's pollution. Cities are pollution, you know? That's the reality. Cities are pollution. Once the city is built and the asphalt is laid, there's no harm in putting in an apartment building. The asphalt itself is litter, so there's no harm in putting more litter on the pile, especially when it helps people and gives them a place to live. It's not hurting anything except the asphalt, maybe, and who cares? Although it may not seem like it, it's actually what God put us here to do. So what about some other things that humans have done? What about medicine? I could argue from the same pagan worldview that it's immoral to take plants out of the wilderness and crush them up and mix them with things and turn them into medicine. But is it? Is it not better to use the plants for life-saving medicine than to leave them in the wild doing nothing? What about food? Is it better to let fields of wheat grow for no purpose? Isn't it better to harvest it and feed people? Is it wrong to use the machines that we use to harvest it? That's an even better question. Would it not be better to have 10 people with their hands doing the job of one person with modern day machinery? Don't forget about smartphones. People are, for the most part, unanimously in agreement that smartphones are the worst thing to ever happen to humankind, but we all use them. Odds are you're listening to this very podcast on a smartphone. Are they as bad as we think? Well, it'll take another decade or two to get a clearer picture of what they've done to our brains, and maybe three generations to know that for sure, but what about all the other things that it's made so much better? It's made just about everything in life easier. There's no complicated GPS systems, no going to the library just to Google something, no guessing which restaurants are open and having to drive by and check. Bereft of a computer, I could potentially run this entire podcast from a smartphone if I had to. Now that's amazing. Humans did that. It's easy at first to look at things like tracked homes and smartphones and think we've ruined everything around us, that we're destroying culture, but we're creating culture. It's also hard to look at these types of advancements with a pagan outlook and say that we're doomed as a species. It's not something you should see and think, what a bunch of idiots on their brain scrambling smartphones. Or worse yet, it's not something you should see and then tweet that. You understand? Some people tweet things like that. We should be amazed by what God has allowed us to invent. We should be amazed by the tools and the resources he's given us to do better things. We should be concerned about being good stewards of the things God has given us, that's for sure, especially if your last name is Steward, like me. We should be concerned with the creation of something that seems to have made us more antisocial and less involved, but has it, is the question. I mean, I talk to my friends a lot more with a smartphone than I ever saw them in person before I had a smartphone. Being good stewards of the earth and cultivating it well, according to God's plan, also requires some personal responsibility. It means if you run a factory, you shouldn't pollute the river. It means if you own land, it's not always dignified to build a housing tract. Sometimes the wealthy guy's mansion in the wilderness is a better use of the land. It means maybe not building an apartment building every 10 feet on a busy street, but it also means not being afraid of an apartment building being on your street. Here's a hard one for a lot of people, and this might actually have some application for you in your local church. So how do you feel about that couple in your church who has 7 kids and counting? Look, it's easy for me to get a juice spilled on me or get my eardrums pierced by a screaming baby, although admittedly, after years of playing in metal bands, it's not as easy to hear as it once was, but it's easy for me to be assaulted that way, if you will, in the local church, and to ask the question, do they really need another kid? Well, thankfully, my thinking in this has changed a lot since I was 19, and I think Christians should have as many kids as they can. We're called to be fruitful and multiply. Some people don't believe that has application for today, but it absolutely does. It predates any Mosaic law, and it is never abrogated anywhere in the Old or New Testaments. In fact, it's kind of double downed on, you know? I remember having a conversation with a friend about abolishing public education. He was coming from a classic statist position, which basically said we can't do that unless we figure out all the consequences of getting rid of something like that. And, you know, he was acting as if the Department of Education existed before like the early 1970s. He admitted that public school doesn't serve for anything more than a babysitter most of the time. And he was worried that if we abolished it, people would stop having kids because there was nowhere for the kids to go during the day and the parents weren't going to stop working to take care of them. Now, I don't think that would be a necessary consequence of abolishing public education, but at the time I didn't really have an answer to it. But what I did say was that Christians wouldn't stop having kids. I don't want non-Christians going out there and having abortions. So hear me well when I tell you that that's not what I'm saying. However, it doesn't matter to me if non-Christians stop having kids, because Christians would still have kids, and they would outbreed the pagans, and then naturally the pagans would be influenced by the Christian majority. It is a good thing for Christians to have kids, and it's how we create more Christians. So, is it wrong to have 7 babies when you don't have enough money or the means to look after them? We should definitely not be spending as much time asking that question as we should be spending our time helping those parents in our local churches. When was the last time you babysat so that the parents could have a night out? I would do that, but no one would trust me with their kid, and they shouldn't. So, did you try to get the dad a job at your place of work so he could make more money? Did you bring them a trunk of your kids' old clothes so they wouldn't be able to buy more? I couldn't do that last one either because I haven't had any kids. See, I'm exempt from a lot of these things. These are questions to ask before we make critiques that lead to Christians not having babies, because they won't be babies forever. Someday, those 7 babies might be 7 adults in your local church. You've known them all your life, and they may help you one day with something that you need help with. At the end of the day, you'll either view these things from the pagan worldview, or you'll view these things from the Christian worldview. You'll either see humans as a bacteria eating away at the planet, or you'll see humanity as God's image bearers stewarding the earth. You know, there's a way for you to be a good steward of what God has given you. Yeah, that's right. How do I know that? For just $4 a month, you can go over to Patreon and support the Death of Death. But I don't expect you to do that for nothing. You'll get an exclusive podcast once a month. This month, we're talking about the Devil's Interval. Do you know what that is? Well, you may be asking, but I'm not going to tell you here. Maybe you'll find out on the podcast. The elect, which is what I call my patrons, also vote on episode topics and get early access to every podcast episode. So I hope you liked that shameless transition I did from a talk on the creation mandate to giving me money. But be a good steward and give me your money. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you what lies in the shadow of the statue. And if you're as committed to Christ's victory as I am, I'll be here to do it with you all next week. Goodbye for now.